Hello, Working Within listeners, and thank you so, so much for tuning into another episode of the Working Within podcast. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed how our guests have only come and just really been excellent on the show. We've moved forward in so many ways since we recorded our first season. Y'all remember when I was just talking with my friends, and while those conversations were great and casual and very deep and vulnerable, Working Within has been on a journey to really bring some really awesome Black leaders onto our show who can share so much experience and wisdom with me, with you, while they're here. And so it does not go unrecognized that today we have Shannon Jones joining us on the podcast. Shannon will tell you more about herself, but what you should know is that Shannon is the only Black woman in the C-suite at her organization and the first, and many other accolades that obviously we all know are not super, super easy feats. And so Shannon and I got the chance to connect, shout out to Regis, through a mutual friend, and have been continuing the conversation ever since because we share that in common. We are a Black woman. We are moving forward, rising to the top, and we know that that story is a dynamic one. And so it's an honor to have Shannon Jones of First Bank on the podcast. Shannon.
Thank you so much, Charlene. First of all, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm truly humbled by being part of your podcast. And I do want to give a shout out to Regis as well. I actually had lunch with him yesterday and I told him we were meeting this morning. And so I appreciate him for that introduction. But as Charlene said, I'm Shannon Jones. My current title, as she said, I'm with First Bank, but my current title is the Chief People Officer of First Bank. And as Charlene said, I am the first Black person to enter the C-suite of First Bank. First Bank is a community bank. We've been around since 1963, pretty flat organization, but there's 8 members in our C-suite, and I'm one of 2 people of color, first Black, one of 2 women. But it's pretty flat in a pretty small group, but we really operate like a collaborative team. So I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of that. So as Chief People Officer, what does that mean? It means all things HR. So I oversee all things talent acquisition, learning and development, benefits, compensation, HR risk. Let's see, just all the things HR, DE&I, all of that falls under me. I have a team of about 70 people, and we serve and support all of our First Bankers. We have about 2,900 employees here at First Bank. I've been here for 25 years. Started as an intern for the bank for 3 years, and then entered the management training program and worked my way up, been overseeing HR for about 2 years, but 23 of my years with First Bank was on the retail side. So I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more about First Bank, but learned a lot and really appreciated the opportunity to support the community throughout my career. Just a little bit personally about me. I'm a native of Colorado. I've always lived here, haven't gone anywhere. I'm a second generation native, actually. So my mom is a native. And I even went to college here. So I went to CU Denver. So I'm a CU Denver alum. Been married for 23 years and have 2 adult daughters. My oldest is Autumn, and she's 21, studying 3D graphics and animation at CU Denver. So she's following in my footsteps at CU Denver. Not same major, but same school. And then my youngest is 19. Her name is Summer, and she is an actor. So she's studying theater at the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley. So I'm just super blessed at just what, life has given me, this journey that God has me on in my life, and just excited with what I can share with you today.
Yes, and what a journey. I can't wait to tap into all of those pieces. And thank you for just opening up immediately. Sometimes I have to pull that out of podcast guests, but Shannon is the chief people officer, and so we don't have to do that. She's people forward. The first question I have for you, I want to know why people officer, why HR? You did mention that you were on the region side for, and when we first talked, you mentioned you were on the region side ever since your management training, which by the way worked. So shout out to First Bank. But why now all about people?
You know, I am just a people person. I love people, whether I'm assisting customers or helping coach and mentor my employees. But, you know, on the retail side, I really appreciated making connections, right? With our customers, with our communities. By the way, I didn't mention any of the boards that I serve on, but First Bank, it's a requirement, but I call it a privilege to be out in the community. And I think that experience with just making connections helped solidify my love for people. But as I stayed and worked my way up through the ranks, I realized really quickly how much I loved mentoring and coaching people. And so when this opportunity opened 2 years ago, I thought, well, I love mentoring and coaching. And so if I could make an impact on 2,900 people, rather than just my own little market, because I was before this role, I was the president of our Aurora market for 5 years. And I was a senior leader, but it was a smaller group that I was affecting. So if I could affect 2,900 people and make positive impact and serve and support them, why not, right? And so I wasn't the most tenure for sure. And I knew I would be the first Black, right? And it carries a lot of weight, right? But I thought, why not? Why not me, right? And so I was one of 10 people that put in for it, and I got it. So
yes, you did.
I did. I got it. And 2 years later, you know, I'm still working to make positive impact. So it's really my love and passion for people.
Yeah. And I want to highlight that fact for folks. Like, you're hearing from Shannon right now, like, this is the result, and not even result, because like she mentioned, this is a journey. We're not at the end right now. But just her current role is the result of years of persistence, consistency, and leadership. And there's nothing that can really kind of replace just that level of consistency and work ethic. So shout out to you for that, because it shows a lot of trust that you are now in this role. And then at the same time, this is your second year. Like, you've been in the role for 2 years. And so I can only imagine what kind of changes that's brought up for you as a leader. So can you tell us a bit more about like how your leadership style has changed? Maybe it's grown, evolved, but like, how would you describe your leadership style now?
You know, I wouldn't say my leadership style has changed in the last 2 years. I got the privilege of really, I would say, Charlene, probably about 6 years ago, I was really trying to understand who I am as not only a leader, but as a person. And so I really appreciated that, you know, there's so many different tests that you can do to find out about yourself. And I've had the privilege to take all these different leadership, you know, programs through the Denver Chamber, Aurora Chamber and whatnot, but so many of them resonated, right? And what I had to learn probably about 6 or 7 years ago, it was probably a little longer, is to embrace who I am and quit trying to fit in, right? Because sometimes you just don't fit in and you need to own that and be okay with it. But really accept who I am and embrace that and then grow in that, right? And so I found very quickly, because of my passion to mentor and coach people, is that I'm a servant leader. But I'm also very results driven too. So sometimes when people say servant leader, they think there's this soft leader that's in the background. That's not always what that means, right? I'm very results driven. And so I love people, but I want results. And I'm quick to act with results. And so it's a combination of that. But really, I always ask my direct reports, what more do you need from me? right? How can I best support you? And so with that, I would say I'm a servant leader.
Okay. Servant leadership and leadership in general, as a freshly entering the workforce person, leadership style is incredibly important for keeping teams motivated, for just operating well in a team, and also making great decisions for now 2,900 people, right? And so hearing servant leader is always a great thing for me, because there are other quote leadership styles that can sometimes be very destructive and, you know, are not about serving. And so that's really important and something that I've definitely been reflecting on in my own journey right now. So that leadership could be a whole 2-hour episode. Absolutely. If we really dig into it. But I want to know more about First Bank, because this has been a significant like chunk of your life. And I definitely like am curious, you know, why First Bank? And when we first talked, you had mentioned so many great things, and they are true. I have the receipts, folks. So whatever Shannon says about First Bank, trust me, I have the receipts. But can you just tell us a bit more about how they operate as a community bank and why you still support them after this time?
Absolutely. So this is really the only career I've known. Like I said earlier, I've been here for 25 years. When I was an intern, I was very observant, and not only observant of the culture, but of the leadership, right? And I was trying to decide, do I see myself as part of this company? And if I'm part of this company, do I see a true career for myself with progression? Do I see myself as a leader? Because I knew I wasn't going to just stop at whatever level society says I should go to. I wanted to keep going. And I saw all those things, right? And so that's why I decided to enter the management trainee program. But, you know, we adopted our mission of banking for good. Our mission is banking for good for our customers, communities, and employees. We adopted that probably around 7 years ago or so, but we were living that since 1963 when we were established. Like, it truly is banking for good for everyone that we touch, and that's our customers, communities, and employees. We're probably one of the most philanthropic companies in Colorado with how we not only give dollars wise, but I mentioned earlier how we give of our service, right? We serve on various boards and give to the community. And so I appreciate that. When we're developing relationships with our customers, it's about what fits their needs best, right? We're not driven by bottom line. We're not employed on commission where we're just trying to make money. It's like, what is best for the customer and the bank, right? And so meeting their needs that way. And then for our employees, just the culture here, I've always, Sherlyn, felt supported. First Bank is not a very diverse company. I would say we've gotten better. And what I wanted to say is the financial industry is not a very diverse industry. First Bank has gotten a lot better in our diversity efforts with diversifying our workforce. But the financial industry, that is what I wanted to say, not First Bank. But it can be very lonely. But I've always felt supported, and I've always been able to rely on not just people of color, because I can't look up and see people that look like me, right? I've had to be able to rely on the support of allies, right, and accomplices. And just one story I want to tell that I will never forget. I was a management trainee. So I had already been an intern for 3 years, but new as a management trainee for the bank. And someone said some customer is upset. They want to talk to a manager. They gave it to me and I was like, okay, I'm still new in management, but I'll try to take it. This customer was so upset and called me the N-word. So she called me a nigger, and I was just speaking with her on the phone. So I don't know, maybe I sounded black or something, but she called me that. And I was just so shocked, like, oh, okay. still handled whatever her complaint and then hung up. And then a few minutes later, one of the employees were like, well, how did that call go? Because she was so upset. And I kind of told her. And then at the end, I was like, and you know, she actually called me a nigger. And she said, what? And she was like, oh no. And then from there, it kind of snowballed into, like, literally 20 minutes later, I got a call from the CEO of the bank. And he was like, first of all, I want to see if you're okay, right? Are you okay?
First, yeah.
Second of all, we do not tolerate that. I don't care who this woman is, how much money she has in the bank, her accounts will be closed, right? And I was like,
wow.
Okay, I wasn't even trying to make a big deal about it because people do that. People call people racial slurs all the time. You know, I live racism, microaggression, stereotypes every day. And so I just wasn't expecting that level of support. He didn't care how much money she had in the bank. He was like, we don't tolerate it. She will be closed. You do not have to deal with this. And we will not tolerate it. And I will never forget that as a CEO to call a little management trainee, right? So I just appreciate the support that I've always felt at the bank. So
that is huge. That's huge. Oh man, what a, of course though, but of course, like First Bank would do that. I'm telling you, the level of community trust that First Bank has built and just shown, like constantly involved with community events, like in the know around the needs of the community and dedicating resources, like financial resources explicitly, which in some organizations, they find that so hard to do. Like, but I know I've seen how First Bank does that consistently and recurringly. And so hearing you say that is just another affirmation for like the culture and leadership that's at the bank. Because I also, like, my career started in financial services. I was an intern at a big bank, and one of a number, you know, I felt like a number definitely. And I came into the corporate banking side, which was very intense culturally. It was an expectation that interactions like that could easily occur. And it was not like vocalized, right? But it was like a silent knowing, as we know how that goes for Black women in corporations, a silent knowing, silent and deadly. And so I imagine if something like that had happened, of course, I didn't experience that, but it would have been handled differently and also just not so forthright in the way they support community. So I applaud that. And Shannon, I don't know how detailed you want to get, but what is some of the like other like philosophy in the way First Bank does banking that you've witnessed? Like, what programs have you seen come to life that have been like First Bank been early adopters for, or just really pushed the banking field forward?
Yeah, you know, I was looking over to my right just as I was trying to bring up some reports, but one thing I will tell you is, First Bank has been in our diversity, equity, and inclusion journey from back in the 90s. You know, this wasn't in response to the murder of George Floyd, where a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon and then started caring, you know, about these issues. We are so intentional about banking communities of color, because a lot of communities of color, they don't trust banks, right? And so we have been intentional about this since the 90s. We started with the Asian communities and then branched out to the Spanish speaking communities, making sure that we have resources available to folks so that they can get their banking needs met in their preferred languages, right? Black communities, we started with the Black communities and really tapping in so that we can make sure that we're meeting all communities. And one program with the Black community that we have is a down payment assistance program for home ownership. And this is just for first-time homeowners that identify as Black and African American. And I mentioned to you when we first spoke that I appreciate we have all these values. You know, I told you our mission statement, our values, excellence, diversity, equity, inclusion, community, humility. And the last one is my favorite. It's courage. It really resonates with me because we really do have the courage to implement a down payment assistance program for just one group, because we have the courage to recognize the inequities that Black people face. And as a banking institution that's heavily regulated, we still have the courage to do that. Sometimes getting phone calls like, are you guys too woke? What about the other people of color? This group, the Black and African Americans, are the lowest in home ownership. So we're going to focus on this group right now, right? And so that takes courage, right? And that's just one example the fact that we started in the 90s and still doing it to this day. And there's so many different external efforts that we have going on internally. We have three main goals that's part of our strategic plan. One of them is taking market share. The other one is bringing banking for good to life. Banking for good is our mission. The last one, it's called Include All, and it's our diversity strategy. So to make diversity, equity, and inclusion as part of your company's strategic plan, I think that speaks volumes, and it takes a lot of courage to do that. So anyways, those are just some of the things. I can go into more detail, but I'm just proud that we've been on this journey, not in response to a situation where everything was shut down and you were forced to open your eyes and pay attention. We've been on this journey well before that. So,
yeah, and it shows, absolutely. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, there's always more to be done, right? There's always more a company can do. There's more a leader can do. But to just like be realistic for a moment, like, 20 years ago, having racial slur and it being handled that way, like not something you expect. And then now, you know, having explicit down payment assistance and grants specifically, not even only the loan, but also grants available for first time Black homeowners is a very bold position to take in the financial services industry. And I know everyone could say there's more to do, but y'all don't understand the financial services industry and how it has been a tradition. Let's just say it that way. It's been traditional. And, you know, one thing I wanted to announce, Shannon, that I told you that I was going to announce and surprise you with is actually I am a recipient of that down payment assistance and will be closing on my first home next month. Because of First Bank.
Oh, yes. I am so happy for you. Look at that. That's awesome.
Thank you. And it's true. I would not feel financially comfortable enough to close on this home without the assistance and the grant that I'm receiving by working with First Bank on this mortgage. So that's just a huge thing for listeners. Like when I say receipts, I mean that. I mean that the Leadership Fellowship, Black Leadership Fellowship program I just graduated from is heavily sponsored by First Bank. I mean every other organization I know of in Denver, if you look at the sponsors, you'll see First Bank. That is not true for any other bank. And there are bigger banks here in Denver not doing the same thing, not even close. And so just know that. And that's really why I just wanted to have you here, Shannon, because I know there's such a narrative around financial services and what is done. But at the end of the day, we all bank, right? We all want our money. We all want our money to grow. We all want it to be secure. We need banks and we need financial services institutions. And so which ones should we be supporting, right? And that is kind of why I want to spotlight First Bank, because I know folks may not have heard of it in some locations, right? And so that's really important. But I also wanted to check back in with you. You mentioned, I know you serve on many boards and take that seriously. And I wanted to give you space to kind of share about how that's been for you and what boards you've been involved in the past few years.
Yeah, there's been so many. I'll just focus on what I'm involved with right now. I really count it a privilege that First Bank allows us to do this, right? It feels so good, right, to make impact in our communities the way we do. And when we're involved with these organizations, like we're on their board, we're either the chair or the treasurer, you know, giving guidance, advice. And so it's just really cool to be a part of, and then giving dollars, right, as well. But right now I am on the Aurora Public Schools Foundation, because you may recall I said prior to this role, as chief people officer, I was the president of the Aurora market. And so I was involved with so many things in Aurora, but that's the one lingering thing that I'm still part of. Education is dear to my heart, and I'm a product of Aurora Public Schools. So I serve as their secretary. So I've been on their board for a few years, Aurora Public Schools Foundation. The second board I'm on is the Women's Foundation of Colorado, under Lauren Castile. And so that one is a little newer. I've been there a little over a year, but just supporting everything that they do for women, right, is just amazing. So on that board, and then the last one that I just joined is the advisory board for the CU Denver Business School. So I'm a product of CU Denver as well. I'm an alum from there. And so it's just fitting that I give back and be a mentor for those students there. So those are the three that I'm involved with right now.
Yeah. This is bringing up another question, because like, it's just leadership is like pumping through your veins, you know, like you have this position, you've been leading and mentoring people your entire career. And, you know, you've taken the extra step to volunteer additional time and like fulfill that requirement well of board service as well. Which experiences, if you have an answer for this, like have really developed your leadership the most, you felt like?
That's a great question.
It could even be parenting. Like, I don't know.
Ooh. You know? Ooh. Definitely parenting. That will teach you about yourself. Let me tell you. It will teach you about yourself. My girls are my world. And I admire them so, so, so much. They have absolutely taught me and helped me grow as a leader. My young one she's my mini me, but she's different too, but she's just, her name is Summer. And so when people forget which one is which, I'm like, think of summertime and fun and parties. That's summer. Autumn is more calming. Like think of the change of the leaves, and she's more calm and shy. But even though Autumn is introverted and shy, she's also courageous, which is what I appreciate. She's bold in what she stands for. And that's what I admire about her. She's so comfortable within herself. And I want to be like that when I grow up, right? The younger one is just such a people person, and I am too, but I just appreciate her silliness and an ability to just connect with anyone in the room. And so that's what I admire about them. But one other thing I'd say that was really impactful to me, not only my children, but when I did the Leadership Aurora program, we did one of those personality tests. And I wish I remembered which one it was. I'd have to get back to you and let you know which one it was. But I remember reading that thing, Sherlyn, and it took me a while to complete the whole thing. And that started my journey of really accepting who I am. That was back in 2015. And I was like, hey, is this who I am? Like, and what it is I, even though I'm a people person and I care about people, I can be very aggressive because I'm results driven. And
yes, yep.
I thought that as a female, there was something wrong with that, like to be aggressive and assertive, right? And especially as a Black female, you can be seen as threatening, angry all the time. So I thought, no, this is wrong. I'm not supposed to be this way. And I'm a little person too. Like you haven't seen me in person, but I'm like 5 feet tall. I am, and I have a big personality, but I thought, oh no, something's wrong. And I had to really, it took me a while to read through that thing, that full report, and accept it, right? Accept it and say, this is who I am. And I'm going to need to own this, be comfortable in this, and mature in it. So that test, I will have to get you the name of it. But that test was an eye-opening for me and helped me to just really accept who I am.
That is amazing. It sounds like just self-awareness, like knowing who you are, where your strengths and opportunities are, and what can be more challenging for you can really accelerate your leadership development.
Yep, absolutely.
And I want to double click on what you said about women and Black women. feeling like it cannot be assertive. I've definitely, that comes up so often. And you add less experience on there too. It really comes up like, who do you think you are? What are you talking about? But, you know, like you mentioned, the self-awareness, that one, that is something I used to play into. It's something I can't play into anymore because it puts limits on me, my ability to do my work excellently, and just how I see myself as well. And so that level of self-awareness can help you fight many, many battles and challenges in your career in general, just because it can get challenging, but there's so much, also so much opportunity to do what you want to do and create the impact you want to.
Absolutely. And if they're not willing to accept it, whoever they is, you know, that your audience, that's their problem, not yours, right? Like they, and we so often don't realize that or accept that. And so we're trying to change who we are. Let me filter what I'm about to say. Let me speak quieter and a lot more softer because I don't want them to think I'm angry. You know, we're always having to try to adjust ourselves, right? And because we want them to accept it, right?
It's almost, not almost, it's normalized, mm-hmm. right? And so until you hear of others doing differently, it's like, what kind of the status quo mm-hmm. has been? And mm-hmm. so woman, Black woman, liberate yourselves from that need or having those expectations really pronounced the way that you show up.
Bless you. Excuse me.
That was an extra emphasis on that one. do not let anyone influence the way you show up, especially if you're showing up well, right? Not anything wild, but you are doing your job, you're doing it well, and you're speaking your mind in a respectful fashion.
Absolutely.
And the way people take that is, yeah, their problem. Okay. All right. You may have answered this a little bit, Shannon, but I want to get a little deeper. So I want to know, what has been most fulfilling about working as a people officer or at First Bank, if it makes more sense to answer either way?
I have touched on this a little bit, but I would really say impacting people. I keep saying this, right? And I keep touching on it and referring to it. It truly brings me joy, Charlotte. Like, I get excited, so I need to make sure that I'm not gonna start flailing around here. But when I impact people, and so I'll just tell you, I believe one of the questions was what my purpose is or something like that. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, I had my team, when I was the president of Aurora, read the one of Simon Sinek's books, Find Your Why. Mm-hmm. And for me, your why is your purpose. Like, I think we all have a purpose right here on Earth. And what my why is, or my purpose, is to bring to light the potential in others mm-hmm. so that they can successfully walk in their purpose. Mm-hmm. When I bring that to light and help them realize it, and then they're walking in their purpose, yeah. OMG, like I get so much joy about that, with that. And so I've been able to do that, not just as chief people officer, but throughout all the people I've touched. And so your question is interesting because I'm reflecting on my 25 years at the bank and all the people I've interacted with and have touched and they have touched me, right? I appreciate the impact on one another that we've had throughout the years. And so that is one of the most favorite and fulfilling things that I will take with me. You know, I view this as an assignment. It's a long assignment. I've been here for 25 years.
Not a long one.
It's long, but not that I feel like I want to end it anytime soon. But when my assignment is done, I look forward to still impacting people in whatever capacity God would have me to do that. So,
yeah. Oh, man. You're a light. You're a light. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I mean, Shannon, now I want to know, what advice do you have for young women entering the workforce, in their careers? What do you have for the go-getters who know that the journey starts now, and you know, they have their eyes set on somewhere they want to be.
Yeah, so many things. so many things. I will say, and I'm just reflecting, right, on everything that I've learned throughout my career, whether it be a learning lesson as a female, a learning lesson as a mother, as a wife, as a Black woman, right? So many things. I will say that, you know, I had my children really early in my career, so I was still really early in my career, but being a career woman was important to me. And so I was blessed enough to have my mother watch my children, you know, before school age. And then she was able to pick them up after school, you know, once they started school. So I was blessed to have that, right? I never had to put them in daycare. But part of me, especially up through their elementary age and up through even middle school, I felt guilty. I felt guilty that what kind of mother am I? I am working my way up, you know, First Bank has a promote from within strategy, and I just kept go. And sometimes late night events, sometimes weekend events, sometimes early morning events. What kind of mother am I? And I used to ask myself that. And you know what? I had to forgive myself. No one's perfect, right? And I realized probably when they were in middle school, I'm like, I have my priorities mixed up here. But I really had to forgive myself so I could move on from that thing. Because if I was going to wallow in that thing, I wouldn't have been where I am today, I would say. And so I had to stop what I was doing, forgive myself, and get my priorities in order. And I remember I was at a point in my career, I was all the way like a senior vice president of the bank. This is back in 2009. And I was like, and it was a tough year for me. I was doing all this, working hard, and I wasn't getting results at work. And I felt like I was neglecting my kids and my husband. And I was like, I'm going to go into my evaluation and I'm going to let them know they're going to see a different Shannon. I'm going back to who I really am and having my priorities in order. This job is really, really important to me. But God comes first, then my family, then this job, right? And I'm never going to see my children at 5 and 7 again or 7 and 9 again. But what I can do is be better now and be better in the future. And so I had to do that, right? I had to just let them know, set the record straight. I had to forgive myself and then just make sure that I'm better. And every morning I wake up and I say, thank you, God, for waking me up this morning and allowing me to see this day, because it's not promised. It wasn't promised. But thank you for allowing me to be better today than I was yesterday. Help me to be better today. And so I would just say, I said all that to say is sometimes you gotta forgive yourself because you're not gonna be perfect. But it doesn't mean that going forward, you have to keep making mistakes. And so I live in the moment. I know that that's probably a little backwards from a lot of C-suite people. I live in the moment because tomorrow's not promised. I'm going to cherish this time I have with you right now, Charlene, because we're here in the moment right now. I don't know if I'm going to see you ever again, right? So
you will
cherish this right now. And I literally, I don't mean that to sound morbid. I live in the moment. And I'm going to try to, if I'm blessed enough to live, be in the future, I'm going to do better. Just the second thing. So we have to be able to forgive ourselves sometimes because we will make mistakes. The second thing, I hope that women and especially Black women can learn earlier than I did to accept who you are. Because who you are is how you were made to be. And it's good enough. And I would always tell young women when I would talk to them, even older women, if you were trying to change who we are, we're basically saying, God, you made a mistake when you made me. You made a mistake. Yes. You didn't make my hair curly enough, or you didn't make it straight enough. So now I'm going to relax it. Yes. Or you know, you're saying, yep, you made a mistake. And I think we need to let not only the physical, right, but I talked a lot about just my personality and my leadership style. I had to accept who I am, this little 5 foot fiery person. I had to accept who I am, like, right? I'm not wired like all these other people, and that's okay. Yeah. And that's okay. So accept who you are. I mean, I'll say one thing, me wearing natural hair in corporate America in a bank, it was a thing. Let me tell you, it was a thing. I was nervous. I was nervous, but I'm so glad I did it. So.
Oh man, I love all of that advice. And the hair is a thing. Like, I was like that. I used to straighten my hair. I used to hate my hair, to be frank. You know, I was like, this is not what I want. Like, growing up, I was like, this is not good. It's not beautiful. So many things. And so moving past that, accepting who I am, has been instrumental in me being able to just even pursue the path in life that I know I need to be on, that God has shown me, like, I should be here, like, consistently here. And also just hearing you kind of reflect really honestly about being like, having that career woman focus, like, if that's you as well, young woman, any woman, like, accept that too. You have that drive, passion, ambition, work ethic for a reason, right? And also, though, you reflecting, Shannon, about motherhood at the same time, like, yeah, it's great to use that and to be a career woman, and at the same time making sure you prioritize in the ways that really are meaningful to you and, like, healthy and in the way you want to live. Like, that's really important. That's something I think about often.
Absolutely. And I want to say, I'm not knocking people that straighten their hair. You do you, whatever makes you happy. I didn't want to make it seem like I'm knocking that. So whatever makes you happy. What I wanted to say about the natural hair thing, it was just a thing for me because everyone made a big deal about it. Because my hair used to be straight. I was straightening my hair since my mom started it when I was, like, I don't know, 7, like, way too young. So it was such a big thing, especially around people that aren't used to seeing you that way. And so it was just interesting coming into work every day, and everybody, it's the topic of discussion every day. So it was just interesting for me. But so anyways, I just wanted to say that's what I meant about straightening the hair. If you want to straighten your hair, you go forward, you do you. And then just the motherhood thing, if I can just say one other thing, I didn't realize that I was having a positive impact on my children as a working mother. I always, even until recently, I thought that, I wonder if they would have felt better with me being a stay-at-home mom. I still had that in the back of my mind, but my oldest daughter's graduating college. And this year, her entering her senior year is when I realized that they do admire me. She told me, she was so excited to tell me, the oldest daughter, that she was, like, on the board for the African Student Alliance and the Indigenous Student Alliance. And she was like, Mommy, I'm on the boards just like you. And I said, and I started crying, right? Because I was like, they see me in business. They see me doing all these things on boards. And she admired that. And I never knew that they looked up to that, right? And that, my mom is a manager at a bank. Like, I didn't realize they looked up to me that way. So what I'm doing is, I am a good mom, right? I had to own that. I am a good mom because I'm setting an example for these two young Black women that I'm raising, right? So anyways, I just wanted to say.
No, you're fine. You're fine. And absolutely, it is, of course, always easier to criticize ourselves than celebrate, you know, what we've been able to do. And so I'm so glad that you've had that confirmation from your daughter around the awesomeness of the mother you are, because I can only imagine how tough that job is. Like, not your job, but the motherhood responsibility. And so just know that, yeah, you've been an example for all these years, not just now and not just previously either.
Thank you.
Shannon, is there anything else that we need to definitely make sure is broadcasted on this platform? Are you up to anything new? Any events coming up? What's going on in your world these days?
You know, we talked about so much. But you know, I think at this stage in my life, just really trying to embrace it, right? And be ready for what's next. And I don't even know what that means, right? What is next? Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm almost like at a midlife.
No, oh God, you're funny.
Oh my God. I feel like that really, because I'm like 25 years at the bank, I'm 45 years old, and people don't realize how old I am, but I'm like, I'm 45 years old. I had two adult children. What am I going to do with my life? All right. But really just getting them through college, making sure I can support them the best that I can. And then just, I don't know, going with the flow with whatever God has for me, but nothing, no big announcement or anything. Just.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with that. You are living in the flow. You're accepting your path as it comes to you. And that's worked so far, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, Shannon, thank you. Everyone, listeners, give Shannon a round of applause, please.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on the Working Within show. As I mentioned, we are Blackity Black Black. Working Within the business serves Black leaders, Black philanthropists, Black social entrepreneurs, Black nonprofit leaders, and organizations that support Black leaders. And on our show, we have Black leadership stories all the time. So Shannon, thank you for sharing your leadership story with our audience. I'm excited for all the Black women, that is most of our audience, Black women, to hear our conversation and to just understand, you know, a little bit more about First Bank, you, motherhood, career womanhood, and just showing up as yourself and accepting who you are with a lot of the themes that you discussed with us today. You're dope. Just remember that. We are presently here, and I really appreciate having your energy.
Thank you. I appreciate your energy, too. I think we feed off of one another. So
it is like that. Yep. Oh, man. Listeners, you can read more about Shannon on LinkedIn. We'll link some information and also make sure we have an awesome description for you in the episode description. So make sure you read that. Get involved in the community. That's been a huge theme. You know, find your ways to participate. But otherwise, we'll hear you and see you. Well, you'll hear us and see us in another episode and another time. Thank you so much for listening to the Working Within podcast.